cyber attack on our nation's largest meat producer is proof that warfare has changed completely. And if we don't keep up, if we don't start thinking more strategically and intelligently about our future, we may not have one. That's the reality. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish. Please make sure you subscribe to the channel. Give it a thumbs up. I'm super excited to tell you a little bit of news. This podcast is about to get a whole lot bigger. I've just partnered with Salem Media to distribute the podcast. And so if you have not already subscribed, please make sure you do. Please make sure you tell your friends and family. This is a very serious moment in time. We've got a lot going on. At the time of this publication, I can report that the meat producer, JBS, is trying to get its servers back online. The company has been forced to shutter all of its U.S. plants. And I want to know, where is the Biden administration on this? What are they doing about this? I mean, this is a big deal. And it comes right on the heels of the Colonial Pipeline attack. Remember that one? I want you to consider how both recent cyber attacks, both believed to be orchestrated out of Russia, have really changed the landscape of warfare. Meanwhile, I also want you to think about the fact that they're going after food and energy, which is pretty interesting, right? These are the two biggest components of inflation, of course, food and energy. And as a result of the biggest supplier of U.S. beef being shut down, there will be a temporary inflationary effect. You're going to pay more for those steaks, more for hamburgers, just like there was with gas prices, right? As a result of Colonial Pipeline's attack. Remember those gas lines? There was a run on gas throughout the entire East Coast, prices spiking to the highest level we'd seen in 6.5 years. Why isn't our government doing more right now to protect against these attacks? In the case of Colonial, it was pretty appalling, right? Very clear how appalling it was when the White House came out and sort of said, you know what, this is business's problem. I'm sorry, no. You know, I'm all for businesses taking responsibility in dealing with this themselves, but this is an issue of national security. Thank you very much. And then there was that, you know, reporter who said, oh, well, maybe this will actually help improve the demand for electric vehicles. I mean, can you believe that? Maybe this time around, reporters will say, hey, maybe this will shift Americans away from eating meat in order to better help climate change and the environment. All I can say is we need to take this stuff seriously. Cyber warfare is a very real thing. And even though these groups right now say that they're not politically motivated, if they're operating in countries that allow them to be there in the first place, then isn't that a problem? I mean, the White House spokesperson says that the White House is, quote, I'll give it to you here, engaging directly with the Russian government on this matter and delivering the message that responsible states do not harbor ransomware criminals. Woo! Yeah, now I'm really scared. Good luck with that, guys. Good luck. Because I'll tell you, these states, these countries, these rogue actors, they don't care about being responsible. They care about one thing. They care about power. And any little rogue place on earth can have all kinds of power if it wants to in this new environment, which is why we need to take cyber warfare seriously. You've heard my reporting on the threat of an EMP attack. And I ask, why aren't we reinforcing our grid? Whether it's a cyber attack, the threat of an EMP attack, these attacks, they're very real. And there is a sophistication level that so many other countries now have. And I question why we're not doing more to reinforce our own security. The Kremlin, meanwhile, they responded earlier today to these allegations, and somehow they're involved or they're harboring these hackers by saying they had no information about who might be behind the attack, but they would respond to any official request for assistance quite promptly. In fact, this is a direct quote from Dmitry Peskov. He's Putin's spokesperson. He said, I do not know anything about this. And then added, certain contacts are being maintained through diplomatic channels. If the Americans bring any accusations, clearly they will be processed in a rather rapid manner. Okay. In some way, I mean, it matters, but in some ways it doesn't matter whether or not the Russians officially know. The fact is, those hackers are like living there, right? In that region, or getting, at least from our intelligence sources, protection from Russian intelligence. So what matters right now is that we pay attention to this and we make it very, very clear that it's not going to be tolerated, period. I mean, where are our hackers, right? Why don't we have groups like this? Either we're severely lacking in the math and computer science department, which is quite possible, or because we actually can't take action against this sort of thing. I don't know. But I would think that this should be a wake-up call. This particular group, by the way, it's pretty scary. It's a well-known hacking collective group called Revil, R, and then Evil group, that's believed to be based in the former Soviet state. It's believed by intel experts that they do have some protection from Russian intelligence, possibly the Russian government. I want you to keep in mind right now what Putin said on Monday. Just hours after this attack was initiated, he said it's possible that Russia would send what he described as uncomfortable signals to the U.S. ahead of a summit that they've got going on in Geneva on June 16th. So basically, like, let's call a spade, all right? Relations, they're not so good with Russia right now. In fact, you might even argue that they're the worst they've been since the Cold War. And then China, it's not like, you know, we've got very good things going on with China. In fact, let's be perfectly frank. We're not even getting along with our friends right now, like Israel. Back to Russia. I've got another quote I want to share with you. Sergei Ryabov, who's Russia's deputy foreign minister, telling the Russian news agency that, quote, the Americans must assume that a number of signals from Moscow will be uncomfortable for them, including in the coming days. Oh, okay. So is there any kind of link there? I just wonder, between the JBS attack, the former colonial attack, and now what they're threatening? I don't like that. I don't like threats. And I'd like to know what we're doing to counter those threats. How are we preparing? Again, I'm all for business having a role in all this, but this is a national security issue. This has escalated to a military grade issue. Speaking of national security, we don't really seem to have a whole lot of that these days, right? Joe Biden wants you to know that the biggest threat to America right now is not terrorism, not China, not Russia, not even the threat of a world war. Heck, it's not even climate change anymore. No, the biggest threat to America today is white supremacy, he says. This is in his big speech last night in Tulsa. Look, I'm sorry. I get it. I'm sure there's pockets of awfulness out there in this country. But Joe Biden, he's a politician. And what is he doing? He is using race to manipulate this country for political purposes. You know, remember when Charles Barkley, the basketball star, pointed this out? He was really smart about this. He said, these politicians, they're using race to create division, and we're stupid enough to follow them, right? We can't, we shouldn't. They want to agitate. They want to divide. We have real threats, okay? One of those threats right now happens to be China. I mean, one of those threats is Russia. One of those threats is the lack of peace and stability in the Middle East. One of those threats is our border situation. But let me circle back to China for a moment, because I would like our State Department, our national security team, to really hone in on who, what, when, where, why, as far as the coronavirus goes. We're learning right now a whole lot. And much is being revealed about Dr. Anthony Fauci, thanks to, those thousands of emails that were just released, courtesy of a Freedom of Information Act. And number one, here's what we know. Fauci was okay. Apparently, he said so. He wrote it in a research paper with Gain of Function Research. So Gain of Function Research is this risky research, right, that looks at things like coronaviruses and manipulates them so that, I guess the world could be prepared in the event of something really awful. He said that he was in favor of this, even if it risked a pandemic. That, again, is according to the paper he wrote, publicly available back in 2012. Number two, we know that Fauci's NIH gave $600,000 to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for the study of bat coronaviruses, and then never told us about it. I mean, they've been sitting on that information for the last year and a half. But according to some new emails dated in February 2020, well, Fauci, he might have known then exactly what was going on. And I just wonder why he wasn't forthcoming. Why there was an effort, if you ask me, to avoid the elephant in the room, to avoid asking the question, could this have been created by China in a lab? Number three, let's just assume the best of them, okay? I'm going to be generous today, and I'm going to say, you know what, Fauci, the NIH, they had no idea that this risky research was really and truly going on. But here's the problem. They should have. I mean, why the heck were they giving this money to a virology institute in Wuhan, which, by the way, is China, right? And like, we don't even outsource our pet food these days from China because we're worried, right? So now you're going to outsource scientific research? And we should have known better. That's the thing. Taiwan News uncovered a report that aired in December of 2017. So a while before this whole thing happened, showing off the Wuhan lab. Forgive me, it was 2017 in December. And China was trying to show how brave the scientists there were. They were trying to show off the Batwoman and say, she's risking her life effectively trying to find the cure for SARS. Well, China and origins of SARS, China had all kinds of safety violations in that video. So all it would have taken was, you know, a little bit of due diligence, maybe just a little internet search to actually realize that people weren't wearing protective gear when they were handling these bats and they were researching these viruses. I don't know. I mean, does anybody else find it kind of interesting timing that Fauci is announcing his new book, Truth? The irony of that title. At the same moment, all of these emails are revealed. My prediction: Anthony Fauci may very well be the fall guy for the left. They're not going to be able to stand by him, not as more information comes out and comes forward. This is all so messed up. Think about it. I mean, Donald Trump knew. He came out and said, what the heck is the WHO doing? You know, how disingenuous. We give the WHO all this money. You'd think the least they could do is demand some accountability from China. He had seen some intelligence that led him to believe that it could be coming from a Wuhan lab. Pompeo knew. Secretary of State Pompeo knew. Now, at the time, this intelligence was classified. So what did the media do? Oh, they said, of course, they must be lying. Of course, this is just Trump trying to look for a scapegoat. We were so blinded by Trump derangement syndrome that there was no desire to actually get to the truth. And think about how messed up that is. You know, they were telling a very different story than the one Anthony Fauci was telling, you know, telling National Geographic, no, there's no way this could have come from a lab. This is clearly from a wet market. We were not allowed as journalists to report on it. Think about that. I mean, I did because, you know, that's me. And I was shadow banned and I was demonetized and all of it. But that's okay. I will always stand up for what's what. And though I'm a commentator and you always hear my opinion, I am first and foremost a journalist, which means I will stop at nothing to get to the truth. Reporters were shut down for reporting that it might have come from a Wuhan lab. And the White House, Joe Biden, terminated the investigation that the State Department had into whether China might be responsible. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, wouldn't you, if you were suddenly president of the United States, wouldn't you at least want to know the answer to that question? Why would you dismiss it? The good news is the cat's out of the bag. And it doesn't matter how many diamonds the CCP slips to Biden's son. Remember that one at a dinner in Florida while he was in the middle of a divorce? We are going to find out the truth here. We're going to find out the truth. And it's not going to be easy at times. I expect that there's going to be an effort to cover certain things up. But I'm determined to get to the bottom of it. I know you've got to be determined to get to the bottom. The world needs to know the truth. So please subscribe to the channel. Give the podcast a thumbs up. And remember, I'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, live free or die.